Go to Luke chapter 10. This morning is, can a man walk with God? You'll see later on, we're going to put a how in front of the can. So how can a man walk with God? Look at Luke 10. It's one of my favorite passages. It is so pointed, so direct. We could stay here all morning, but if you'll go back afterwards and look it over, just think about it. Mary and Martha, Lazarus's sisters. Lazarus is the one that died in John chapter 11. Jesus comes, resurrects him after 4 days. So this is Mary and Martha, somebody that he was close to, somebody that Jesus went there often. Look at verse 38. Came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also, and then notice this, sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. That's why I've tried to drive home in some of these lessons, Enoch walked with God, didn't have a Bible. Noah walked with God, didn't have a Bible. Job walked with God, didn't have a Bible. Abraham walked with God, was the friend of God, did not have a Bible. You can read your Bible, but if you would have the mindset of, when I'm reading my Bible, I'm spending time with Jesus, you would get more out of it. Yes, you can treat this book like a plausible information and fact book and history, and you can treat it that way, but if you're in your mind, when I open this book, this is Jesus. This is Jesus written. And you would get more out of your Bible if you had that mindset. That's why I've tried to drive home. You can read your Bible and not walk with God, just like people have walked with God without their Bible. But if they could walk with God without a Bible, surely you have the mind of God, and you could get closer because you have a Bible. So here's Mary. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word. Verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Go back to verse number 40. Martha was cumbered. You know, some stories in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are repeated, and you get a different angle on them, like Jesus walking on the water, or Jesus breaking the bread and multiplying it and feeding the 5,000. That's in there several times. This is the only time this story is mentioned in the Gospels. And here, Jesus says, she is cumbered about much serving. You could say Martha represents service and activity, and Mary is representing sitting at Jesus' feet, hearing his word, the relationship and adoration. And what's amazing about this story is the way we judge spirituality is activity. If you do a lot, then you must, oh wow, you must be really spiritual. But the Lord in this story shows us that is not how he judges spirituality. The Lord judges spirituality by your love and adoration for him. Because if you'll love him like you're supposed to, you'll do what you're supposed to do. But just because you're doing right, doesn't mean you love him with all of your heart. That's like saying this, well, if people come to church, everybody here loves Jesus all 100%. No, that's not true. I think there is a degree of love for the Lord in everybody, but it is different in every person. It's at a different level. We judge spirituality by, oh, wow, look at all they do for God. Jesus said, that's not how I judge it. Your time with the Lord is very important. Let me drive this home one more time. I know how to go soul winning in the flesh. I know how to go to church in the flesh because I've done it. I've won programs of bringing visitors to church in the flesh. I know how to do that. I've been backslidden and in church and had visitors in church, not here, at another church. And when that program was done and I got the awards, I won a suit. And they give that to me because I brought the most visitors that month. And I knew I was in the flesh. I knew I was backslidden. I didn't love the Lord. I could go through the motions. But God smote my heart after that. God says, I judge your spirituality by your love and your relationship with me. And I love the statement, if you'll be what you're supposed to be, you will do what you're supposed to do. If I could get you to spend time in your Bible every day and read your Bible and pray and walk with God, I would never have to ask anybody to come to church. I'd never have to ask anybody to go soul winning. I'd never have to ask anybody. In other words, to the degree you walk with God is the degree God moves in your life. There's things that I can preach till I'm blue in the face in church, and it will not connect until your relationship with the Lord is where it's supposed to be. You say, well, man, you preached it. How come people aren't listening? I think some listen. I'm not so stupid to think everybody's listening. There'll be a few people in the auditorium. They're looking right at me, but their head is elsewhere. I've preached long enough to know that. Notice Mary and Martha. Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, and notice what happens when your emphasis gets on service and you lose your relationship with the Lord. Notice what happens in verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she helped me. I wish you'd mark that verse. I have Cinderella syndrome marked in my Bible. Anytime in your Christian life you start feeling like you're the only one serving God, how come nobody else is here? Preacher Mrs. Nash, man, they're out of town on a missions trip. I'm here opening up the building and turning on the lights and heaters and sound system, and where's everybody else? When you lose the privilege of serving, you lost your relationship with the Lord. When it became a duty, well, I'm here at 8. Church doesn't start. Sunday school doesn't start till 10. Where's everybody else? What? I'm the only one serving God. Really? Here's a wonderful statement. God doesn't need me. And if you think God needs you, go outside and look at the clouds for about 10 minutes and watch the earth spin without you. Why would I say something like that? For me to get to expend my energy to serve God, I ought to be thankful and realize it's a privilege. And as long as I'm thankful I can do it, and I'm serving and I'm thankful, my relationship is not in danger. But when I start to feel like, the only one serving God around here, how come nobody else goes soul winning? Bible says to. It's a privilege to spend yourself for God. Anything you get to do. Does everybody see the complex that Martha has? Make her serve. No, your problem is you put the emphasis here on service and you lost your relationship and your walk with God and your Bible time is not important. So now, instead of having your eyes on the Lord like you should, you're watching everybody else. How come they're not doing anything? How come they only come to church once a week? How come? What any business is that of yours? Honestly, when you lose your relationship with the Lord, you start looking at everybody else, and then you have one measure, me. I compare you to me. Well, you're not doing what I'm doing. I'm doing more than you. You're not doing more than Jesus. And he was your standard when you started serving. But you lost this. Now you become critical. Got to ask, man, we need 4 ushers in the auditorium and we've only got 2. How come people can't see that and just volunteer? You had to be asked. They lose perspective. This little passage of scripture is so, I think it really drives home the basics. Bitter therefore that she helped me. Now, notice verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Has anybody ever noticed any time your mom ever called your name twice, it was never because you were doing a good job. It was always because you blew it. Here Jesus looks at Martha and says, your thinking is so far off. And he's going to correct her in a way our Savior always corrects. He's not yelling at her. He's not demeaning to her. He's just saying, you are so far off of center. Notice what happens. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You know, it's wonderful about your King James Bible, the word cumbered in verse 40 is the only time it's used in your King James Bible. You say, we don't use the word cumbered about much serving. It means careful and troubled about many things. It means stressed. I've got this to do, and you just don't understand how busy I am. I'm the busiest person in the whole church, and I got this to do, and then if I don't... That's your choice to live that way. Because that's what he tells Martha. Notice this. Martha, Martha, your thinking is wrong. You're troubled about things that are not important. Notice verse 42. But one thing. I wish you'd underline two words. One thing is needful. And Mary hath, notice the word, chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You know what Jesus said? Some people are so insecure, their image to others has to be, well, I'm the busiest person in the church. You just don't understand all that I'm doing. And you don't understand, I mean, I've got to leave right here, right as soon as church is out, and I've got to go do this, and I've got to, and it's an image. I am so busy. You just don't understand. Jesus said, the most important thing you do and the one thing you need the most is your time with Him. And if you could do that, if you could put your Bible time and your prayer time on a priority list and make it the first thing you do, everything else falls in place. But when you leave this relationship and you put your emphasis on all that you have to do, I love that. One thing is needful. One. Isn't that awesome? One thing. No, you don't understand. I have to do this, and if I don't do this, this is going to happen. I've got to... One thing is needful. Only one. Your time with the Lord. Can a man walk with God? Yes, he can, but our mindset and our mentality... Let me give you something that'll help you. If you're too busy to read your Bible, then you're too busy. Nobody's asking you to read... It takes 70 hours to read the Bible through from Genesis to Exodus at a public speaking rate. 70 hours. 10 weeks of 1 hour a day. Okay, let's lengthen it. In 20 weeks, if you read it for a half hour a day, you could read your Bible through in 20 weeks. 5 months? Okay, let's break it down some more. In 40 weeks, reading your Bible 15 minutes a day. 52 weeks in a year, you're almost up at a year. You could read your Bible through one time, 15 minutes a day. And that's why I think the devil throws these mental blocks. Well, it takes hours to... If you can just get over the hurdle just to open your Bible. 15 minutes? Do you know how many more things we do longer than 15 minutes? 15 minutes a day. You've got to start somewhere. Why don't you have a goal of 15 minutes of reading my Bible and 15 minutes of praying? That's a half hour. If you wanted, you could. If you have a long commute to work, which some do, you could put a Bible CD in or play it on your phone app or something and let that hear. You could have 15 minutes of Bible on your way to work and pray 15 minutes before you go. Then just kind of keep it up. You know, they got apps now that read the Bible to you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm just trying to give you some avenues in our fast-paced, I got to do this, and I've got so much to do age. Don't forget, there's only one thing in your life that's needful. There's only one thing. If you lose the Lord, you lose your ability to love people, you lose your wisdom, you lose a perspective, and you just get caught up in the rat race with everybody else. No eternal views, nothing. But if you'll keep your walk with God, He gives you a perspective for eternity. I'm not just here to eat, sleep, and excrete. God put me here for a purpose, and I got 70 years to live till I die to complete what He saved me to do. And it helps me keep eternity in view. We've got Psalm 63, 1 through 8, Colossians 2, 6 through 7. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 22. Can a man walk with God? You could say, we just looked at Luke 10, should a man walk with God? One thing's needful. Yes, you should. Can he? Yes, absolutely. Look at Hebrews 10 and verse 19. Ready? It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Here's what's neat. I can go into God's presence anytime because I'm washed in the blood as a child of God. Before, the priest could only go into the presence of God one time a year with the blood to sprinkle on the mercy seat, and that was it. And then they always tied a rope to his foot in case he wasn't clean enough. God would kill him, the priest. And then when they heard the bells quit ringing, they knew he'd drop dead, so they would pull him out because you couldn't go into God's presence. Just so everybody knows, they did tie a rope to the priest's foot, but there's no record of them ever pulling a priest out. They took it pretty serious. If you were going to go into the Shekinah glory in God's presence, yeah, you better have your ducks in a row and things better be right. And one time a year, they could go into God's presence and sprinkle the blood over the mercy seat one time a year. God says, now that you're washed in the blood of the Lamb as a child of God, you can go into God's presence any day, anytime you want. You can say, Daddy, I love you. You can pray anytime you want. The heartbreak is that we don't. You can pray all day long. You can walk with God. You're in His presence. You're clean and holy before the Lord if you're saved. Isn't that wonderful? No, that's verse 19. Look at verse 20. By a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. I just love those words, let us draw near. He's saying, you can talk with God anytime you want. Draw near to Him. Get close to Him. Christian, you can talk with God when you're at work. Lord, I need your help with this. Lord, help. When you have problems with people, and I think everybody does, amen, because there's some screwed up people out there. Did you know you can ask God's help? Lord, please help me with this. Lord, help me have the right mindset with this person. We met a messed up person yesterday. It plainly said, this is the guy running the gas station. No smoking. And this guy's walking around with a big cigar. And he was running the gas station. I was like, ooh, it's an attitude. Not that I wouldn't have helped him, it's just, that's messed up. You know, if you got to be explained why, that's really messed up. You know, then you should be running a gas station. Okay? But he's emptying the trash cans. And there's all these people filling up their cars. And I was just like, Lord, please help me deal with this person. Did you know you can get God's help all day long? Do you know when you feel the pressures of life? Did you know when you get scared, you can cry out to Him? All day long. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And of course, that's the Bible. How can a man walk with God? In prayer, in thanksgiving, in praise, in supplication, in intercession, in silence, in communing, in love and worship, in confession, in fasting, in listening, in sharing, in singing, and meditation. First thing I'd like to draw your attention to, do you notice how many of these things deal with prayer? Obviously, prayer, 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 interceding for other people. Silence. Go to Psalm 85, verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints, but let them not turn again to folly. God says, how can you hear God's voice if you don't take time and just be quiet? And how can you hear that still small voice, the peace that He gives, if you are not in silence and you're not listening? But do you know how many, our society does not, before radio, even radio, families sat around and there was like, you know, the Green Hornet. Or, you know, you sat around and they listened to stories on the radio for a half hour. Then TV came into the picture. No pun intended. About the mid-40s and the 50s. Yeah, poof, oh, you just totally missed it, right? Okay. Then TV comes in and now people, it's called amusement. What's amusement? Ah means no, muse means thinking. We'll do it all for you. So as you turn on the TV, your brain shuts down. And then you just receive information. Programming. That antenna will give you a lot of reception. Our society Now when people sit down, when they don't have anything to do, when their work on the day is done, they turn on something, and to be in what you would call true silence and listening to God, it does not happen because a TV is on. Something with pictures. But before that, it was real easy to... You took your Bible home, your day of the work was done, you did your chores around the house, what you had to do for the next day, you sat down, you went out on the porch, you sat, and you looked, and you had time where you were in silence and you could listen to God. People don't do that anymore. They're amused. We're literally entertaining ourselves to death. To death. And this type of Christianity that says, I need to just listen to God and just take time to just listen. Shut everything off and just think about God. Think about what He showed you in His Word. Think to have that quiet time, it is rare. And I'll say it again. How can you hear God when you ask God, Lord, please help me with this. Lord, how do I do this? Lord, please. Do you ever take time to listen for a response for the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart? I know God doesn't speak audibly, but God does say, listening. Do we take time to listen? This is not conducive to our society. If you walk with God, it will be because it is on purpose. You do not accidentally walk with God. It'll be because you came home and you said, first thing I do is not turning on the TV. I am going to do this. Go to Isaiah 30, verse 15, and go to verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And then God's getting on to him, and the last statement is, and you wouldn't. God says you chose a different way to live. But God says, didn't Jesus say, if you take my yoke upon you, ye shall find rest for your soul? God says, the Christian life is not supposed to be one more thing that you have to do. It's supposed to be one more thing that you find strength from. But anytime it's like, oh, I've got to go to church. Anytime you get that way, you lost this. And it became this. It's a privilege. It's an honor. It should be a blessing in quietness. Here's what I've learned in the Christian life. Anything that stresses me, I'm not doing correctly if it's for the Lord. If it's for the Lord, now I may be under time restraints, but anything that's like, whoa, are you doing that with the Lord? Because if you're doing it with Him, He doesn't treat you that way. He helps you. He lifts you. He holds your hand. He strengthens you. He helps you. It's not a, oh, man, I can't wait till this is over. I've had a few times where I thought that and I catch myself. Go to Psalm 102. Go to Psalm 102. Can a man walk with God? Yes, a man can. And a man should. This gets stout. Psalm 100. I'll just make verse 1 and verse 2. Ready? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. You could take one whole Bible class and just show you verse after verse after verse in the Bible where you're commanded to sing. Oh, well, I'm not that musical. God says, does everybody read verse 1? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You're supposed to praise God. Oh, I thank Him. You're supposed to sing. You say, why? Angels don't sing anymore. The angels said, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth towards and goodwill towards men when Jesus was born, right? But they didn't sing. Angels quit singing when God made salvation available to man. You know who's supposed to do the singing now? Angels don't sing in your Bible. Men do. We do. We have so much to sing about. We're commanded to sing. Have you ever picked a song at the start of your day? That's why, you know, we sing songs in church, and you'll hear me say this every once in a while. I hope you sing that all week long. Last week we sang, without Him I would be nothing. Without Him I'd surely fail. Without Him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. I love the chorus to that song. It's so simple. Jesus, Oh, Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away. Oh, Jesus, my Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. What a good song to have on your mind all day long. And everyone, to hum it. You walk with God. God says, come into his presence with singing. Come before him with singing. We're all commanded to sing. And singing should be a tool that you use throughout the week. I don't care if it's what you would call a kid's song, or if the song we sing this morning in church really sticks with you. It's like, man, how great thou art, how great thou art. Could you sing that during the week? Sing to the Lord. Sing. Walk with God. Can a man walk with God? I hope this lesson's a help to you.